Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
CLNS Media Patriots Roundtable. I am one of your co-hosts, Nick Qualia, here with Mike Molino and Marv Zahn. We're getting closer to the season. I think we might be live right now on YouTube and Twitter. At least we gave it a shot, so we're going to see how that goes. Dude, we got football back.
Yes, sir.
It feels nice. Yeah,
Hall of Fame
especially
game
after these talks. These Sox are killing me. I need football
please.
Back.
Please, let's not talk about any type of Red Sox at all in here. Please, it's not good right now.
It's been bad. It's been a tough watch.
The Hall of Fame game happened. The Hall of Fame ceremony happened. And then training
camp. Did you guys watch the ceremony?
I did not. I missed it. Unfortunately, couldn't watch. But I saw the highlights. Like I saw the Peyton Manning highlight. We gave a little Tom Brady shout out. Made a little joke.
So we finally entered the age and like in all of sports now where everyone who's going into the Hall of Fame, we know, we remember, we know their highlights, their numbers, and it's really cool to just see that now.
It felt weird to me to see Megatron.
Yeah,
that was the one to me. That was the one to me where I was like, this is weird.
That guy, he left a lot of meat on the bones in terms of his career. But he walked away under his own terms, and you know, it definitely seemed like he had some years to give. But he walked
remember,
away under his own terms.
Remember when he retired, and there were all those like the rumors that just cut because this is what happened, especially when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were together. There were just rumors every single time like this happened. And Calvin Johnson, there were rumors that he was going to come to the Patriots. He was going to come out of retirement like after a year and come to the Patriots. Like, there's no chance that's happening.
It'd be nice, I tell you, a Tom Brady,
yeah,
Megatron combination. Because I mean, I saw something that popped up on social media how he said during his speech that Aaron Rodgers used to try to recruit him all the time whenever the Lions faced the Packers. So Megatron had a hell of a career, and he never necessarily had like a superstar quarterback. No disrespect to Matt Stafford. Or whatever other quarterback the Lions had over the years, well, Megatron was there. But I mean, imagine
Stafford,
even playing
Stafford
with Brady.
Stafford gave him stats, though.
Yeah,
Stafford
that's true.
Gave him a lot of stats.
Yeah, I feel like this is more of a Lions problem.
Yeah. But I mean, imagine Megatron playing with a Brady or a Manning or Rodgers or a Breeze.
Yeah, it would have been unreal.
Which stats could have been inflated a little bit there.
Yeah, because now you're talking about playoff success. Like Calvin Johnson didn't really matter. Calvin Johnson, one of those receivers, didn't really matter who his quarterback was. But if you pair him with Breeze or Rodgers or Brady, now we're talking about what could have Megatron done in the playoffs.
It's like not to bring it back to baseball, but it's like Mike Trout. It's like what would this guy do in the friggin' playoffs?
Right.
Guy's an unreal player, but what would he do in the playoffs? All right, but before we get into anything, guys. Show brought to you by our friend over at betonline.ag. And here's the first topic that I wanted to touch on tonight. And we've talked about it a good amount over the offseason, but it's just, I mean, it's the prevailing topic every week. Everybody's keeping an eye on the quarterback position, what's happening at the quarterback position. And, you know, it feels like there's actually some steam gaining with Mac Jones potentially even having a shot at week one at the quarterback position. And now he's getting more reps than Cam Newton in some of the padded practices, or most of them, I believe, or just in total. And, you know, that's got some people thinking, and me included, is there a legitimate shot that Mac Jones, guys, could be the quarterback come week one? Or do you think that this is more just, okay, well, Bill Belichick, in his head, already has Cam Newton as a quarterback. Marv, what do you think?
Belichick does not have Cam Newton as his quarterback in his head at the moment. He would like it to be Cam. He would love for it to be Cam. I think we all agree that Belichick really loves Cam and loves really him. Thinks that he can bring a unique offense into the season. However, you spent a first-round pick. I know everyone's going to go crazy that Mac Jones is out-repping Cam Newton, but as he should, you need to know what you have in your first-round pick. You need to give him as much reps, even, unfortunately, more reps than Cam to really see what throw everything at Mac Jones. And so far, from everything that we're reading, he's handled it perfectly. If he has a bad day in training camp, the next day he delivers. And it's been great to see that Mac Jones has been able to handle everything. We know about his quick reads and has been showing through training camp. Cam should be worried. I still think that if training camp was to be done today and next week was week one, Cam Newton is the starter. However, as the days go by, Mac Jones is continuing to creep up there.
See, now I have a tough time thinking that Mac is going to overtake Cam because I think because Mac's looked pretty good from all accounts in camp. Hasn't looked great, but he's looked pretty good. But if he's going to take over that QB1 role by week one, I think he's got to show out for the rest all the way up until week one. Think he's got to show up and really blow Cam Newton out of the water. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't come to any surprise to anybody that training camp and then these preseason games that are approaching are going to be very, very important for Mac Jones. Like, I know Cam will be out there for – I'm assuming Cam will be out there for, you know, first couple of series or whatnot. But in my opinion, Mac Jones needs to play the majority of these preseason games. Obviously, you don't want him to get hurt or injured or anything like that because at the end of the day, he's your number two quarterback on the depth chart. And if anything does happen to Cam, you're assuming they're going to go to Mac Jones. They're not looking at Stidham, wherever the heck he is. And Hoyer, I don't even believe he's an option. I don't even believe he'll make it onto this team once the regular season starts. But for the most part, training camp and these preseason games that are approaching are going to be very vital and important for Mac Jones. I firmly believe week one, without a doubt, Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback. I don't even question that more. And even more recently, Belichick came out and made a solid statement again, saying that Cam's our quarterback. What kind of conversations Belichick is having with him within himself when it comes to that, you know, nobody will ever know, but you know, they're sticking with Cam to start out, but Mac Jones definitely has an opportunity here, especially how Marv said, you know, he's getting more reps in certain times during practice. These are some vital, important times for Mac Jones because I don't know if it'll be this season, but it's very possible Mac Jones could be your quarterback, your starting quarterback, come the 2022 season. It's very possible. How much time does he get on the field this upcoming season remains to be seen. But any opportunity he's getting right now in Patriots practice and these preseason games are vital for Mac Jones.
Speaking of camp, did you guys see his video he posted on his YouTube channel?
No,
I have not.
I stopped doing that since last year.
I don't even know how I came across it, but I think the Dan O'Brien Kia guy was in the car with him. The guy with the long beard who makes those car commercials. I didn't actually watch the video. Like I didn't even see him introduce him, but I think that was the guy from the Kia commercials, from the car commercials in the car with him. Whatever. All right. Well, I mean, honestly, the thing is, so a lot of people want to see Mac Jones be the quarterback. One of the hottest battles going on right now is the Mac Jones fans versus the Cam Newton fans on Twitter. There seems to be like some legitimate animosity building. Like some people, Cam Newton fans are diehard Cam Newton fans. And then the people who don't want Cam to be quarterback anymore and want Mac Jones to be quarterback, they are fully pressing for Mac Jones to be the quarterback. But did either way, like no matter who you want as quarterback, I think it's obvious that Mac's really going to have to perform really well up until week one and really show that he's ready to be a week one starting quarterback. because I don't care where he was drafted personally. I don't think Bill Belichick is going to – I think it's going to – it's difficult for Bill to put a rookie in such a prominent role like that this early.
I think at most – all Mac Jones can do right now, because like I said, in my opinion, he's not going to be I don't care what he does, training camp, preseason, unless Cam Newton gets hurt, he's not going to be the starting quarterback come week one. But with that being said, the most he can do is make a decision very easy for Bill Belichick in terms of how the season progresses and goes along. If Cam Newton is really stinking up the place similar to last season, there might not be any hesitation as to whether, should they turn to Mac Jones? Should they keep riding it out with Cam Newton? If Mac Jones continues to show out like he's been doing and he has some solid preseason games, Cam Newton, if you screw up week one, week two, week three, yeah. Belichick might flip that switch really quickly.
That leash will not be the same as last year's. It just can't be, and being picked in the first round actually means something. You have to you invested in this quarterback. You invested in him in the long term. Cam knows that. Cam knows in his head that, hey man, this is probably a 1 year thing, and then I'm out of here. Mac Jones is most likely the future for this team. You don't spend a first round pick on a quarterback and you don't have future plans for him. So Cam has to bring it up. Even if we're saying Mac Jones needs to be exceptional to play week one, Cam Newton also has to be exceptional throughout these training camps to prove that he can be your quarterback throughout the season. You don't want Coach Belichick having doubts already week one, like, Cam Newton, if he messes up here, I'm going to have to go to the rookie.
I mean, hey, maybe they both feel Jarrett Stidham breathing down the back of their neck. Maybe they see Jarrett Stidham coming for their jobs. And maybe that's going to be a good motivation. Hey, speaking of somebody who's got good motivation, from what I'm seeing with reports, Jimmy G with Trey Lance being drafted third.
He's balling.
Jimmy G is apparently tearing it up.
Jimmy G is balling right now. But the reports are saying Trey Lance is doing pretty damn good as well. So that's another QB battle to look out for.
Oh, man, you want to talk about hype? And you guys know my feeling on training camp hype. I hate it. I can't stand it. We fall for these storylines. Last year, Jarrett Stidham was the guy. Jarrett Stidham was looking good. Jarrett Stidham was going to be your starting quarterback until Cam Newton came to the picture. And then everybody's like, you know what? Forget about it. Get rid of Jarrett Stidham. Push him off to the side. N'Keal Harry, somebody else who had some pretty good hype last year. N'Keal Harry, according to reports, is looking damn good in training camp so far. Damn good. This is your first round receiver. You want to see some production out of this guy. So far, I think it's fair to call him a bust after the first two seasons. I think that's totally fair to say. Doesn't mean you can't rebound. But are you guys willing to buy into the training camp hype of former first round pick N'Keal Harry, who, mind you, already requested a trade from this team? Mike, what do you think? All right, we are going to take a quick break for 1 second to talk about our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and information for all of your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and take advantage of your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, guys. Get in on the action. It's that easy. Don't forget to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Visit our friends and exclusive partners at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code CLNS50 for your sign-up bonus. #BetOnline.
This is going to be what, year three for Nikhil Harry. And sure, like you said, Nick, the hype is there. He's probably balling out in training camp. But I don't care what kind of balling out Nikhil Harry does during training camp in these preseason games. At best, he can be the number three option on the depth chart at wide receiver. I don't see him over Bourne. I don't see him over Aguilar. He can battle it out with Jacoby. Jacoby might have the upper hand on him already.
I think Jacoby's already above him on that chart.
So if, yeah, well, now you're talking about him being the fourth option on the depth chart. And if you're talking about the number four guy now, it doesn't even matter what Nikhil Harry does, because in my when I envision this Patriots offense, I see, okay, Bourne's going to eat. Aguilar's going to eat. Jacoby will fit in there here and there, do his thing. But then you got to worry about the tight ends. So I saw early in the comments, someone mentioned how, you know, the tight ends have been dealing with some injuries so far coming through the summer leading into training camp. Smith and Henry have both dealt or are dealing with different injuries. So that's going to be something to keep our eyes on. But back to Nikhil Harry. Yeah, I mean, as much as the balling out he can probably do, him jumping over some of these guys on the depth chart, it just seems very unlikely. Unless someone goes down with an injury or something along those lines, I think Nikhil Harry's place on this team is solidified. And it's his fault. He should have been coming into this 2021 season.
Isn't solidified?
Is his spot on the team solidified?
Yeah.
When I say spot on the team, I'm talking about either he's getting traded or he's not even going to see the field too much. That's where he is at this point in time. Like, I don't see him overtaking any of those other guys, and it is his fault because he should have been coming off a 2020 season where you already have Nikhil Harry locked in as the number one or two option on this team, but that's not the case. If he played the way he should have played last season, do they get Bourne? Do they get Aguilar? We don't know, but because he performed the way he did, Nikhil Harry is who he is, which is why I don't buy into any hype. He's stuck. He's either going to get traded. I don't care how many conversations him and Belichick have. He's either going to get traded or he's just barely going to ever see the field. Or you might see him in the jumpsuit on the sidelines. Who knows? Because I don't think Nikhil Harry has the same supporters that he probably once did in New England anymore.
No, and I was one of them last year.
We all were. We all had high hopes for the guy.
We bought the hype. We ate up the hype last year. I drafted this guy in fantasy. Not a very high draft pick, but I was like, you know what? there weren't many receiving options on this team. I was like, if Nikhil Harry can step up, he might get some decent yardage. And he just didn't. It didn't work out.
Especially when Sanu got traded. You're saying, oh, well, here it is. Nikhil Harry, number two wide receiver for the Patriots alongside with Edelman. And he had the chances. I mean, obviously, Cam Newton's not someone who's going to give him 8 to 10 targets a game. And maybe if he did get that regularly, like some of his peers that got drafted with him, maybe his numbers would have been better. However, the short opportunities that Nikhil has given us, especially last, I'll just use last season as to really describe Nikhil Harry, because the season before, we know Brady didn't really trust him. He was injured and such like that. So last season, when he had his opportunities, he showed flashes. But as soon as he showed a flash, he showed us he can't play all the time, because it'll be a fumble or a drop, a miscatch or it just never worked out perfectly. Or he couldn't run the route and knew in the game after that him on where to go. Now we're seeing training and he's balling out, right? It doesn't mean a damn thing to me. I don't give a damn. One, he needs to ball out in training camp if he really wants to get traded, because he has no value right now. Two, show it to me in a game. Show it to me in a game consistently, and now we're talking.
Right.
Training camp doesn't mean a thing to me when it comes to Nikhil Harry.
Agreed. Right. It's all about game speed. It's all about game speed. Because training camp storylines kill me, because we fall for this, and I specifically fall for this all the time. I just get hyped up on the idea of football season coming back. I love the storylines, and then I fall into them. I need to see Nikhil Harry do this in a game in more than 1 week, not just a flash in the pan 1 week game. I need multiple weeks of production out of this guy. He was a first round pick. He's a first round pick. You want to see this guy produce. You want to see this guy put up numbers. Not to mention other targets that he's going to be competing with. I mean, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Like he's going to be competing for catches with those two guys too. So he's got a lot. It's going to be tough for him, I think, to even make this team, make this roster.
With all this talk coming out of, well, him and Belichick have had meetings on the side and whatnot. Are these supposed meetings and conversations they're having a sign that maybe they don't want to trade him and they still have belief? Like, what is Belichick need to talk to him for? If the trade's going to happen and they're going to get, well, maybe they can't trade him because his value's too low. I think we've had that conversation before, but what are all these reports of? What are all these reports of Belichick and him having conversations? Is this a sign of him still having hope that N'Keal Harry can pan out and be a big part of this team this upcoming season?
It's a conversation. Belichick telling, well, you better tell your agent to shut the hell up, otherwise you ain't going to go nowhere. You're not going to play or find a team. That's what he's telling him. And you know, N'Keal's come out recently and he's saying the right things and he's performing on training camp. Sure. Let's see what he does in the preseason, because that's where teams are really going to look at him and be like, okay, can N'Keal Harry actually play, or is it the Patriots system, or what's wrong with N'Keal Harry, or why has it not worked?
He does. He needs his agent to stop talking.
Yes,
yeah, I mean last year
that was wild.
Last year didn't he take a shot at Cam?
For a guy who sucks, his agent did a lot of talking with that press release. So. Yeah.
Dude, and he took a shot at Cam last year, if I remember, right?
Yeah, the agent.
Yeah.
He took a shot at the offense in general.
Yeah, well, I thought last year during the season there was a shot that he took at Cam and like kind of blaming Cam for the reason. I might be wrong. I might be wrong on this, but if I remember right, there was a comment made by the agent that kind of put the blame on Cam for why N'Keal wasn't performing. All right, well, sliding over, we got fantasy football talk, because this is what we really want to talk about right now, guys. Fantasy football draft, it's coming. I just got my draft order. I'm picking 10 out of 10 in my league. We all just picked random numbers. We got random walk racers in the Olympics and whatever place we came in. That was our draft order. My person had pretty phenomenal odds, just came in dead last, so... But you know what? I'll take 10 out of 10 for my 10-man league. Absolutely. But guys, there are, going into this season, a good amount of rookie options that a lot of people are going to be looking at. A lot of people are going to be drafting. And some people might even use some early draft picks on them. So you want to look at all these rookies entering your fantasy football draft this year. Who is one rookie that you are absolutely going to take a shot at if you get that opportunity? I don't want to put it, I don't want to say early on, but just a guy that you definitely want to try to grab. Mike, who do you got?
So did some research here, because you know me and rookies sometimes is always a kind of a questionable conversation. And then especially when it comes to fantasy, my goodness. You're taking a chance on rookies because you literally don't know what to expect. I mean, they may have a lot of hype coming into the league, but once you get to the week one and you just don't know what to expect. But if there is a guy that I would maybe take a look at with this upcoming season is the tight end for the Falcons, Kyle Pitts.
Damn it, dude. I got to start going first. I can't stop giving you guys the chance to just take my stuff.
But Kyle Pitts, man, I mean, look, Matt Ryan is, I wouldn't consider him an elite quarterback, but, you know, he's still a starting quarterback in this league, and he's going to be slinging the ball over there in Atlanta no matter what. Julio Jones is out the pitcher, so he's not going to be eating up a lot of targets like he was doing the last several seasons.
And that's key. That's key.
And that's huge, yes. While they still have Ridley over there, and they still have Hayden Hurst, who's the other tight end. There's still a lot of
Gage too, don't they? Or did he move?
I think they still have Gage as well. But a lot of targets have opened up. And who knows what kind of offense Atlanta's gonna step out with this upcoming season, but you have a guy in Hayden Hurst who has an opportunity to make an impact now that Julio Jones out the way. I'm not saying he's a Julio Jones replacement, but I do feel as if, you know, the ball will get spread around a little bit more in Atlanta. Now, am I looking at him as a possible tight end one? I don't know if I'd aim that high. But as I'm going through my draft, if I'm not able to grab one of those top tier tight ends, I think we know, you know, the Kelce's and who else am I listening? What's the guy from Kittle. San Francisco?
Tight ends?
Kittle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the guy from Oakland. I'm forgetting names right now.
Darren Waller.
Waller, yeah. If it's not one of those top tier guys, I would definitely look at somebody like Pitts as an option as tight end for my team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to take him. I hope nobody from my league watches this, but I'm going to try to take him. Not early, but like I'm going to let you guys take those other three names that you mentioned and try to I think he's going to have some solid production at a decent value in this year's fantasy draft.
He's a freak.
Marv, who you got?
Kyle Pitts is no joke. He's definitely a freak. He's going to be a force to be reckoned
with. Oh, yeah.
In years to come. For me, I'm going to give you guys a play, and I hate doing this because I'm in a league with Mike. So I don't like. You
know, and we draft like before and after each other.
I don't like giving out this free information like this. But I'm giving out a receiver that anyone could get for free, meaning your last pick, he's going to be there, and he's a potential wide receiver one for his team. Rashad Bateman from the wide receiver of the Baltimore Ravens. He has no competition to be the wide receiver one. You're talking about Marquise Brown, who hasn't been able to really hit it off with Lamar Jackson. They just got who? Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is Sammy Watkins. Nice wide receiver three. And then you have Mark Andrews, who's the tight end, who's going to get the number one targets over there. But you're talking about Rashad Bateman, 6'1". Big-bodied wide receiver. He's not as flashy as Jamar Chase, but I think with the Ravens really focusing on, you know, changing up their offense, I know it's really run heavy, but they're trying to get Lamar Jackson, and he needed a lot of help when it came to receivers. Rashad Bateman's the guy, and if he during the season becomes that wide receiver one, you're getting a free player right there on your 13th pick or whatever that can become a stud for you. So there it is, Rashad Bateman. That's someone I'll be targeting late in all of my drafts.
And Mike's going to grab him like mid-round just to spite you.
I'll be sick. Man, if Mike does that, I'm fighting.
Dude, the thing is, this year with fantasy is like there's just so little great running backs to choose from. But I feel like there's so many receivers that could pop off this year.
Yeah.
A ton. Receiver.
Gotta choose right, man. Because, I mean, I agree. I think the wide receiver pool is kind of weak. I mean, obviously, you got the top guys out there that everybody knows about for sure. But you got to hope that you hit on a wide receiver that can give you solid production. Because I think in most drafts, wide receivers are going to fly off the table really early.
You think? I think it's going to be the opposite.
You mean running backs or wide receivers?
I think running backs are going to fly off the table because they're just not.
Yeah, you said you mixed them up.
Yeah,
you've been talking receivers
for the past minute.
Sorry, I'm just you brought up running backs real quick, but yeah, I think running backs are going to fly off the table really quickly because there's just not a lot to choose from that are great right now.
You agreed with me, and then just totally went off in the opposite direction. My mind was boggled. I had no idea where we were going. No, but seriously, like once you draft running backs, it's gonna be. I think there's a good amount of receivers that you could really play with this year, and there's in one team in particular, the Cowboys. I think there's multiple options that could really show up this year, and you know, too. Not only that, I'm looking at Bengals receivers. I think Joe Burrow's gonna have a year this year.
They got a three-headed monster over there. And I think all three of those receivers could get close to 1,000 yards.
No, they said that in Dallas last year.
The
year before that?
Dak got hurt.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Dak.
Last team, team hyped that up. We saw that. I hope Joe Burrow's fully good to go and whatnot. So,
I mean, all right. So, running backs. Travis Etienne is somebody that I'm going to grab. I'm at least going to try to grab him. The thing is with Travis Etienne, he's a name. So I'm worried that he's going to get drafted like semi-early. But he's a guy who...
That situation is so weird over there.
It is. It is. But they used the first round pick on him.
Yeah. But Robinson like was balling.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. It's also Urban Meyer. I feel like you don't really know what's going to happen. They've got Tim Tebow at tight end right now. It's a guessing game going on down there. Speaking of a tight end, I might draft. Pick 16 if Tim Tebow's on the table?
If Tim Tebow ends up on my fantasy team, someone slipped me too many drinks or something. I promise you. I will not be. I don't care where Tim Tebow is. I'm not putting him on my team. I don't even want that headache.
Dude, by round 16, I'm usually drunk anyway, so I almost guarantee you I'm taking Tim Tebow in round 16. Guarantee you.
The key is to stay sober for the first 10 rounds.
Yes. Very important.
Once my quarterback and tight end are picked, it's free game. It's free game.
See, drinking too fast in some past fantasy drafts have gotten me Steven Gostkowski in like the fifth round. I used to take him so early. But he used to put up points.
If you go draft like at a bar where there's distractions and noises, you want to eat, you want to drink. You can tell the people who are not focusing when you're drafting outside of a crib or something. You're at a live draft at a bar. You're like, all right. You start saying names.
They draft somebody who's ever been drafted.
Yeah. Yeah. You start throwing names out there. I remember one time Mike and I had a live draft and someone picked like two defenses back to back. I never cried so much in my life.
I do remember that. Wow. You
remember that?
Back-to-back like defenses.
Like Raiders defense and Patriots defense. Back-to-back, 10th and 11th round.
Yep.
Hey, actually, on a serious note, Patriots defense. I'm going for him.
Mind you, we made fun of him for doing that. Patriots defense won him every game. That was the year the Patriots defense was scoring like 25 points a game.
Yeah.
It was like 2 years ago. You remember that when Brady wasn't that great, but the defense was just going crazy?
Yeah.
So it ended up working out for him.
I mean, I'm excited for this fantasy draft. This is one of the most interesting fantasy drafts, at least for me, that I've seen in a while. I think there's a lot of interesting names, a lot of names that really could blow up. You know, I talked about Michael Gallup last year and how I know I'm going to talk myself into wanting to draft him, and it already started this week. I've already started talking myself back into it,
I've definitely read a couple things that are saying, hey, Dak's back. You might want to look at Gallup again this year.
No, thank you. Do not draft list.
It's not a hard no for me, but I'm not looking for him. Say the least. I'm in two, maybe three leagues right now. I'm not looking for him. But it depends where he's at and where I'm at.
Right. And I also don't even have a first or third round pick, so I'm scrambling. I am scrambling. I'm falling for everything. But that's it. CLNS Media, Patriots Roundtable. You guys got anything else?
Oh, man.
Football around the corner, baby.
Shout out to everyone in the chat. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, I know. You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming by the live edition of the show. I don't even know if we're live until I see comments, so that's a great indicator. CLNS Media, Patriots Roundtable. Nick Qualia, Marv Azan, Mike Mono. Guys, we're going to be back next week with another set of episodes, and that's going to be post preseason game one. So once again, Nick Qualia, Marv Azan, and Mike Mono. Guys, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening.